Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this Friday. We're going to take you all the way to go home time. And listen, you know, on this show, I have made it a point to not get into all the complaining and the griping and not also have a solution. Or have an answer, or have a thing you can do. Like earlier in the show, we talked about some politics and things that I don't like and things that happened in Montgomery during the legislative session. But then I ended by saying there was a lot of things that were great that happened, and find a legislator and thank them. That's the way this show is going to stand at all times. We're about positive outcomes. I also believe it's super important that you guys know about people just like y'all. Salt of the earth, walking the same ground you're walking, dealing with the same ups and downs you're dealing with, who maybe have found a track that you might want to know about. We've had some great things on the show. We've had, Elm Foundation's been on with us. We've had Sleep in Heavenly Peace has been on with us. We've had other great, you know, charitable organizations. Then we have the Alabama Policy Institute, the Eagle Forum, and others. I'm about giving other people a platform. Well, I'm about to give somebody else a platform right now who I'm going to do my best to get through this one because I know, I did it again. This always gets me when I tell y'all a story. But the bottom line is this. I'm sitting in studio right now with two wonderful people, David and Kelly Cochran, who have had some stuff happen in recent years. Dang, man, this is going to wear me out. But they are doing amazing things, taking what I would call tragedy and turning it into triumph. So I'm going to stop talking because knowing you personally makes it harder. But at the same time, I'm just so amazed and impressed by the things that y'all do. You guys have an organization called Maximizing Mental Health, but Maximizing is a name that's given for a very good reason because of your son, Max. So David and Kelly Cochran, listen, I'm just, first of all, going to say hello. And now that I've caught my breath, welcome to Right Side Radio.
Thank you for having us, Phil.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Well, listen, kind of a neat tie-in. We even sat here and just talked a minute ago about the fact that Big Rig is sitting right here. I think we call him Big Rig on the air. But his wife knew Max quite well.
Yes.
And his brother-in-law was one of Max's buddies.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit of your story and why are we here today?
Okay. Well, David and I, our son was Max, David Maxwell Cochran, named after his dad. We called him Max. Max was extremely bright, very curious. He was just really a bright spot growing up. He lit up a room when he walked in. We loved him. We have a daughter. Everything we did was around family. I'm a praying person. I'm a believer. And before we had children, I just prayed over my children, for my children. And I just knew that God had great things for our children. And I was excited to see what those were. Well, in elementary school, Max was diagnosed with ADHD. And at that time, I thought, well, he's just a boy, energetic, and we're going to get through this, and everything's going to be fine. And the teachers always said, oh, we love him. He's a delight. But we just feel bad for him. It's like his mind never slows down. And so I just kind of tucked that away in the back of my head and kind of watched that. And as it got older, it became evident somewhat that he told me many times, he said, Mom, I'm different than you and Callie and Dad. And I didn't understand what he meant by that. Mm. And I would just say, you're extraordinary. And you know what? God made you for a special reason. And we're going to find out what that is. And just try to encourage him. And we were regular churchgoers. We taught Sunday school. I would have to say, God, you love me so much. How do I deserve to have this family that I have? And I just so thankful, and I felt such a responsibility. And when I learned that Max, you know, was having issues and having a hard time, I just became very intentional. We became very intentional about, you know, just making sure that we didn't miss anything. But again, I thought that it was just a little, you know, he was a boy. So when we got into middle school, yeah. And let's be honest.
Middle school's hard no matter what.
Middle school's horrible.
Middle school sucks.
Yes, it does. But sixth grade, he did okay. He took, you know, we would buy school supplies at the end of the year, and he never came home with a single book. He never, you know, things like that. He was an absent-minded professor, just things I didn't want to make a big deal about.
Right.
But he made good grades. He got to seventh grade. He was class favorite. He was always the class clown. He loved to make people feel good. And I would say, Max, you don't have to be the comedian every day. And he said, oh, Mom, it makes people feel good. So he was just the light of he was just, you know, the life of the party.
Yeah.
So about seventh grade, my father died. He was very close to his grandfather, and that really affected him. And I didn't realize how much it affected him at the time, but he began to show just a dark place. And so we just muddled through, and when we got to eighth grade, I think that's when our life changed forever. Max had a little girlfriend, and you know, I encouraged him just to be friends with people, and he was. But they had one night, he came in just devastated. They had texted some pictures that were inappropriate, and it just, we were horrified. And that night we said, this cannot happen. You know, this cannot happen, Max. I think it became real that we had some issues that we needed to take care of. And he was so ashamed. And he was saying, please, let's talk about it. And I said, let's go to bed. We'll talk about this tomorrow. Let's all get some rest. But I did not sleep a wink.
Yeah.
We were mortified.
Well, this is eighth grade?
Eighth grade.
Yeah.
So the next day, I go to work, and I was at work, and I received a phone call from the fire medics, and they were at my house. And Max had taken some ibuprofen, things that I really think were a cry for help. I don't think he meant to do anything, but that was the day I think our life changed forever. Would you agree, David?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I knew we had a problem.
Yeah.
This was not just, you know, mischievous. This was like, we had a real problem.
So this is eighth grade.
Yes.
And I don't know if I've ever told y'all this. It's not like we run around together a whole lot. We see each other at church and stuff. I know you personally, but a part of my personal background is working in an adolescent treatment center.
Really?
Lots of kids.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
I mean, I would find myself one day thinking, I have seen the last of what the world can do to a kid, or what a kid can experience, or how a kid can react negatively to something. And then the next day I would see something worse. Wow. And so, you know, for 3.5 years, that's what drove me to full-time ministry, was I wanted to go take what I've been seeing in the counseling environment and put it into actual ministry work and heal from the inside out and not the outside in.
Yes.
And it's tough. I mean, and you see kids, and I worked with kids that were, generally speaking, it was adolescent treatment. So I would see kids that were middle school through high school. It was an inpatient residence, long-term care facility. Mm-hmm. Most of my kids had already been through acute care, and now they were in a long-term care. It was also real frustrating to watch insurance sort of tear down the opportunity to try and work with a kid who needed more time than the insurance would pay. Mm-hmm. And it was also really frustrating to watch what Max had with you that other kids don't have, which is a family network that supports.
Exactly. Yes.
What'd you do next?
Well, we decided, of course, we sought help, and we did not have the resources here to deal with what we thought we might be dealing with. So we went to UAB at that time, Children's, they were full. And I thought, full? You mean, because you think you're alone. I thought, how could this, this doesn't happen to other people. This is, you know, and so we got in at UAB.
Yeah.
It was just such a sad,
That was the beginning. That was the beginning of when we discovered the severe issues with our mental health system.
Yes.
And there's a world of need out there for
it,
too.
It really is. And it, you know, again, you mentioned it, Phil, Max was lucky enough. I mean, well, Max had a family that had insurance.
Yeah.
You know, we both, Kelly and I both worked, so we were insured, and it's, you know, it's really just impossible for some of these families that don't have the financial means, you know, to meet a lot of these needs for these kids. So
yeah, I mean, there's needs you can provide: the love, the support, mm-hmm. the family, the fact that you were interacting with his life, you knew things, you were on top of things, you weren't not paying attention. Right. But then there's times when you absolutely have to have the professional care, and sometimes you also need the medicinal care.
Yes.
And
yes.
I know you work in the medical field.
Yes.
And that's a huge deal. And you're right. Insurance. I watched insurance just make life sometimes more difficult for kids that were in treatment with us. We got to take a break right now.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll talk about Max some more.
Okay.
And then we'll get to what you're doing now. All right.
Okay.
It's an amazing story, you guys. It's an amazing story. But listen, we're right here on Right Side Radio, sitting with David and Kelly Cochran in studio. And I'm going to get my act together because, dang, this one hits me hard. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right. We're right back in studio. David and Kelly Cochran. And we were talking about your son, Max. And so Max, middle school, began to see some issues that were, you know, basically mental health struggles. You guys, as parents, deeply involved, but yet in some ways you're kind of playing catch up all the time. And I know that to be the case from kids that I've worked with. And there were some that I know for a fact when I work with kids professionally. When I work with some, I knew for a fact that if I could shake some sense into the parents, that kid would be better off. And then there were some who I knew just needed interventions that the parents couldn't provide. Mm-hmm. It's a mixed bag. But pick up where we left off. So Max was going through some struggles, and y'all were figuring it out.
Yes, and they were very encouraging. They said, you know, we see this a lot, which was surprising to me. So Max started high school, which was a little overwhelming for him. Really, it wasn't the work, the school work. It was, you know, a lot of the social aspects. Although he was outgoing, things really bothered him. And I think he kept a lot inside. But through the high school years, we had ups and downs. But we did get into counseling, which when Max was with a great counselor that he connected with, we all were living our best life. Because that's not just it's a family problem.
Yeah.
And when Max was well, we were thriving as well. So we saw that counseling worked. The medication in the underdeveloped brain, sometimes it's just not effective, and you have to work and tweak and find the right medication. Max didn't like to take the medication. He said it made him feel disassociated and not himself. So we just kind of, you know, we had a lot of open communication, and his teachers, the faculty, they were great, but we were sailing through. Max graduated high school. Again, I think that was another milestone. Max saw people excelling. They knew what they wanted to do. Max still wasn't sure about what he wanted to do. And when I would question him about it, he said, "Mom, I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but I know I want to help people." I said, we'll find your way. Talked about the service, talked about the trade school. He really didn't like studying that much. So we were willing to go any avenue to help him succeed at life. So that's where we were. And on May 8th, 2018, Max was at home. He was about to go on a trip, making some decisions about what it was he was going to do. The whole family was home. My daughter was home from college. Max was very frustrated that night. He had an appointment with a psychiatrist. He had started some medication a couple of weeks earlier. Max just kept telling us how tired he was. And I said, you know what, we're all tired. I said, let's just get some rest. It was late at night. And Max took his life. We didn't own a gun. We had no idea that Max had a gun. David was with Max outside of our home when that happened. I wasn't asleep, and I knew immediately what had happened. And I ran outside, got them inside. It was just, how could this be happening to our family?
Yeah.
It was I don't have the words. It was the deepest, darkest pain that I've ever experienced in my life. Again, I'd heard before that people took their life and my heart went out to them, but I had no idea. Like I was sharing with you earlier, I read that you can't understand what you haven't experienced. I had never experienced anything like this, and I was wondering how we were going to pick up the pieces. And I just said to the Lord that night, I felt silly saying this, but I said, you promise abundant life. How is this going to work for our family? It's over. It is over, but I'm trusting you, and you're going to have to help. And that's how the night ended on May the 8th, 2018.
So we're right at 6 years.
6 years, May the 8th, yes.
Yeah. Well, we're taking a break. Big Rig, what we got here, buddy? About a minute less?
Yeah, we got about almost 30 seconds.
Well, we're gonna come back from that. And this is the part where I told the audience, it's amazing to see people like yourselves who take what I would call a tragedy and begin to turn it into a triumph. But we're gonna come back and talk about maximizing mental health.
Yes. Thank you.
Dang. Amazing story. Listen, I'm sitting right here with friends, and so it's hard to recount these stories. I remember when those happened in our church, everybody was on their knees. But y'all have not sat still. Y'all have not sat still at all. And the audience needs to know that there is a way out of stuff like this. And you can't hear it, but the bump music's finally playing, so I'm going to a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're going to be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama, y'all. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, real quick, before I go back to our friends here in studio, I got to tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers like a huge swath of ground across North Alabama, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Etowah, six more locations around the Birmingham region. And listen, every location opens 7 days a week, and they will see all ages. I like to say it's pediatric to geriatric. They'll see all of them. And listen, you get sick on a Saturday, do you wait till Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care, and this is, by the way, who I use personally. And no, I do not use them because they advertise. I was using them before, was so impressed with how clean and professional and friendly they were that I found out who the owner was. I called him and I said, I could brag on this if y'all would advertise on Right Side. I'd be glad to have you. And he said, you know what? Yeah, turns out he's a Right Side ruffian, so that worked out quite well. Listen, Southern Immediate Care. You need help 7 days a week. You just find the location nearest to you online, head down, and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. Going right back now to my friends David and Kelly Cochran here in studio. You guys told us the story. Max was an amazing son. I've seen my pictures of him. I remember him at church. Interesting story is earlier in the segment, I said that you know, Big Rig sitting here and his brother-in-law was one of Max's running buddies back in the day. But when you lost Max, the question was, now what, God? And I think that's a question that a lot of people have. And God does not mind us asking that question. God never minds us saying, God, I'm ticked off at you. God, I don't understand. God, make this make sense. And it doesn't always seem to make sense. But the thing that really strikes me here is, I said earlier, you did not sit still. And so y'all have been doing stuff ever since. And you now have an organization called Maximizing Mental Health. So which one of you wants to take the lead on talking about that? You told me that Kelly's the talker.
Yes, she is. Kelly's the voice, and I'm the one that pretty much tries to make, you know, the administrative part of it work. But really, Maximizing Mental Health came about when Kelly told us about, you know, we were sitting around, we've got to make something positive out of this.
Yeah.
Life is, you know, we had to find some way to make the tragedy mean something positive. And when we brainstormed, and we don't know much about the mental health process. Even with Max, with the trouble he had, it was so confusing. And one thing we found out, mental health counseling works.
Yeah.
We had proof of that. So we decided if we could find a way to help provide mental health counseling for people that, for whatever reason, wasn't able to afford it or not be able to get access to it, that would be a great way for us to.
So you're not looking at being the counselors yourself. You're just providing the means for people to get there.
Right.
Yeah.
And when that happened, we prayed about it, met with some very good friends of ours that helped to start our nonprofit.
Yeah.
Once we got that started, God opened doors. Next thing you know, people are asking, you know, I heard that you guys might be able to help with someone that needs funding for mental health counseling. We said yes. And from there, God has just opened so many more doors for us to have the opportunity. And it's, you know, we've talked about how folks, you know, we don't know what to do with the mental health crisis. We're in an epidemic in the United States with mental health crisis. If you don't know what to do, help.
Yeah.
Find a way to help. Don't fuss, argue about it. You know, just try to help. And what we found out was when we started helping, it made us feel better.
Yeah.
And that's the gift that God gives every one of us. I know I didn't use it enough. I didn't really realize, but what I found was when we would help people, at the end of the day, it helped us.
Well, it's an amazing thing. Part of healing sometimes is finding purpose.
Yes.
And we all go to the same church. Everybody sitting here in the studio, we all go to the same church. We all go to Church of the Highlands. And one of the things that I love is, aside from knowing the Lord personally, one of the callings that the church has got is to help people find their purpose. Because when you plug into that purpose, you begin to feel fulfilled and you begin to find out why things were in your life the way they are, because you can then use them for something else. And so maximizing mental health is a 501c3, right? And so how do you go about... How do you go about raising the funds, and what do you do with the funds once you've got them?
Well, what we did, we started out with a little 5K run, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
That was our main fundraiser for our first year. Then we also found out through some help of some very smart people, good friends, that there's grant money available.
Yeah.
And you just got to know how to, you know, get access to those funds. Some of it began with COVID money. We had a chance to get some of that. That kick-started our ability to help people. And then I'll just tell you, I'll go to the mailbox and there'll be a good friend of mine that went to school with us. There was a $10,000 check in there.
Yeah.
Private
those kind of things. Private. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Fundraising. Mm-hmm. So that allows us to then meet with our partners. We have partners that are counselor services in this area. They will give me or contact me and say, there's a person that can't afford counseling. Would you guys be able to help? And we say, yes. And Kelly and I say, well, we're going to do this and as long as we have money. Mm-hmm.
So how many years you've been doing it? Max has been gone for 6 exactly. So how many years have y'all been doing this now?
Probably around four and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
COVID kind of slowed us down.
Yeah, COVID slowed the world down. Yes. So in those 4.5 to 5-ish years, how many folks have y'all been able to provide the means to get the counseling they needed?
As of this week, we're... 2,420 counseling sessions.
That's 2,420 counseling sessions that people might not have gotten otherwise. No. That's huge. Yeah. That's awesome. That's by the way, you kind of stay focused regionally. You're not like running to Georgia to do this, right? No. You're pretty
in
much
this area.
That's 2,420 people in just 4 years who needed counseling sessions, or at least 2,420 counseling sessions,
yes,
that were just in this part of the state alone. That's big doings. That's huge.
What's thank you, and it is. And, you know, all glory, all praise goes to God. We're just a vessel.
Well, I think it's real important, too. You said to me during the break, and you hadn't said it here on air, so I'll grab it and make sure it's known. Every dime that comes in, every penny that comes in goes to the efforts of the organization. It doesn't go to fund you. 100%. It doesn't fund any administrative work. It doesn't pay for anybody's you know, vehicles or nothing. Basically all goes to people's counseling needs, period, right?
Yes, yes.
100%.
100%.
The organization has its annual run, which tomorrow is going to be up at Nakalula Falls. And by the way, anybody out there who's not seen Nakalula Falls, tomorrow's going to be the day.
Yes.
Because the falls are raging right now. I read somewhere that Nakalula is the largest waterfall contained within a city limits anywhere in the United States. I didn't know that.
I hope
that's real, because that's what I heard. I'm saying it on the air, so it must be real. But you guys have the run, which is a trail run, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Talk about that tomorrow, and if folks want to come out, even just to watch or be a part of things, what can they do?
7 o'clock tomorrow morning, registration at the chapel. That if you're not from this area, you may not know. Just ask somebody that's around that area. Where's the chapel at Nakalula Falls Park?
There'll be signs.
There'll also be people helping park. Then you come up into that area. And we'll have registration right there, and the run will start at 8 o'clock.
The run will start at 8 o'clock. All proceeds go to support the work that you're doing.
Yes.
You don't want to run? Come on anyway. We got T-shirts. And
My knees and Achilles tendons began to complain a few years back, and so I'd like to say that I'm a great walker. But well, listen, you guys have absolutely done what I said earlier. You've taken tragedy, turned it into triumph, and there's other people that are benefiting from Max.
Oh, that's our heart.
Yeah.
So thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you.
And thanks for being willing to share the story. I'm sitting here having a hard enough time. It's not my story. But the reality is, I distinctly remember when all this occurred, and I remember the church just being on its knees for you.
Absolutely. We couldn't have made it without our church family.
Church family.
And I knew that people were praying, and I'll tell you, the power of prayer, I could talk about that for hours.
Oh, yeah.
So we are forever indebted to our
church. It's real. It's legit.
Family. Yes.
And you guys are a living testimony to it. And thank you for honoring your son's legacy with all this.
Thank you.
That's big doings, too. And Callie, your sweet daughter, she's something else. Well, listen, everybody who wants to know how to find out more about you, you have a website. What is it?
Yes, we do.
It's Maximizing Mental Health, Inc. All one word.
Maximizing Mental Health, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
.com or .org?
.com.
Okay. Maximizing Mental Health, Inc. .com. Folks want to support, they want to donate, they just want to know more, or they want to call you for help, they can do it.
Please do.
Yeah, this has been a great legislative session. We've had several things that have happened to benefit veterans' mental health, make mental health capabilities more robust around the state. But there's no getting by the fact that even the government can't do everything. It just can't. And it's going to take groups, organizations, families. It's going to take communities, churches, all chipping in. But I really appreciate the fact that you guys even went out and started something that is, there's 2,420 counseling sessions that have occurred now. That's good stuff. That is great stuff. Blessings upon you.
Thank you, Phil.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Phil. In Jesus' name. All right. Well, listen, we got to take a break right now. I got to do that. Got to come back, finish up the show, head you guys out for the weekend, Right Side Radio. We do it all here, man. I'm talking about, man. Jesus is Lord. America's great. Alabama's beautiful. And life is actually worth living. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.